Glory to God. Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We've been on a series called Accessing the Good Life. Accessing the Good Life. The good life's available. It's just how to figure out how to access it. And we've been talking about accessing the good life. See, it's interesting. All the precious and valuable things need to be accessed. Right, the stuff, your bank account, right? You can't just get in not anyone could just get in there. No, you need to be able to access it because, why, there's some people that we don't want to access it. And our houses, we got keys so we can get in and get out, and that's also to help other people to stay out, right? And so there's access. We have passwords so we can access stuff and others can't. So it's accessing the good life. It's available. It's available, but it's very important that we learn how to access. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, one of our theme scriptures. We have three theme scriptures about the word access. Romans 5, 2 says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Ephesians 2, 18 says this, that for through him we have both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And Ephesians 3:12 says this, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. And so we found out our password is in him, in Christ, who we are in Christ. And we talked about the good life. Ephesians 2 verse 10 in the Amplified Classic says this, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. Why? So that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, doing what? Living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So living the good life is part of the good works that he has prepared for us. Living the good life. Hallelujah. So how we're talking about how to access the good life. Well, then we talked about what was good. God's idea of what's good is very important. You know, we might think we know what's good, but until we find out what God says, we really don't know what's good. And so we spent a whole service talking about what's good, what God says is good, and those are the things. It's very important to know what's good. Why? Because 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says this, pursue what's good for you and for others. So if we don't know what's good, or have a shallow opinion or a twisted opinion of what's good, we could be pursuing the wrong thing or not pursuing the right thing. We could miss the mark. And so I don't want to just pursue, you know, 12% of what's good. Right? I want to find out what's good and I want to pursue it all. Amen? Hallelujah. Because I want to get all that God has for me. And I think we're all probably in the same boat. We all want God, what God has for us. Amen? So we're talking about accessing the good life. Then we talked about your key, because keys are what open or unlock doors so we can access what's on the other side. And we talked about that, and we talked about what that is. My key accesses my stuff. No key, no access. And so it's important that we talked about what this key is, and we found out that faith is the key to receiving what God has made available to us. Faith gives us access. And then we spent time talking about opening the door. Now that the door is unlocked, we've got the key and we've unlocked the door. Now we need to actually just open the door. Because sometimes there's a lot of doors that can be open and already unlocked, but if we never actually open the door, we never get to the other side. We never get to access what's on the other side. We never get to see or even know what's on the other side. Right? So, opening the door. And we talked about the shout of faith and praise opens the door. Last week, we talked about the word delight. So, let's go ahead and just pick up there and go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 4. And then we're gonna kind of launch off from here. Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. And so we talked about the word delight, and we said the word delight here in Psalm 37, verse 4 means to be soft or pliable. In other words, it means to be in sync with God. Amen? To be in sync with him. It means to delight self, to delight oneself. In other words, it's my responsibility to delight for me. It's your responsibility to delight for you. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. This delighting is something that we must do. It's something that self must be that self must do, that oneself must do for themselves. Okay? We delight ourselves in the Lord. It also means to be glad in a thing. To be glad in a thing. Well, what's the thing that we are to be glad in according to the Scripture? It says here, delight yourself in the Lord. So the thing that we're to delight in, the thing that we're to be glad in is the Lord. Now, he's not a thing, but that's what this word, one of the way this word can be defined or translated. So what are we to be glad in? We're to be glad in the Lord, be glad in the Lord. So we are to be soft and pliable in the Lord's hand. We are to delight or be glad in the Lord. We are to delight in his word, right? Delight in his word. Psalm 1 verse 2 says that we delight and meditate in the word of God. And we found out that God's word is his will written down for us. And so we delight in his word. And Psalm 140 verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, O God. It's my delight. It's my pleasure. It's my desire. I like doing your will. Right? I delight. I desire. I desire to do your will. I take pleasure. It's fun to do your will. I take pleasure in it. Amen? I like it. Glory to God. And so his desires, we found out, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. His desires will start becoming our desires. As we delight, I said, as I began to delight myself in the Lord, my desires began to change. I told you I didn't want to go to Bible school, but then I wanted to go to Bible school. Prayer wasn't that exciting and wasn't exciting at all, and then prayer was exciting. And studying my Bible, and as I began to delight myself in the Lord, he led me to move to Red Deer. He led me to move to Sarnia, Ontario, and to pastor out there, and then he led me to move to Ontario, and then he opened the doors and then led me to marry Audrey. You know, there's these... And I said, God knows what we want more than we do. Because most of these things, I already had a different plan. I already had a different idea. I already had a different thought. And as I began to delight myself in the Lord, he began to drop his desires in my heart. I said, Thomas Edison said this. He said, I can help anybody get what they want. He said, the only problem I'm having is that most people don't know what they want. And I'm beginning to see more and more that when it comes to the will and the plan of God, if we are not in sync with him, and if we're not delighting ourselves in him, and if we're not in close fellowship with him, what we want can be very shallow. What we want can be very limited compared to the will of God. He says, according to Ephesians 3:20, according to the active power that is at work within us, he's able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly far over and above all that we could dare ask or even think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. In other words, his plans for us are so much more than our plans for us. And the Apostle Paul found this out, and I think that's what most of what Philippians chapter 2 is about. He said, I had these plans, and I had this my whole life figured out. I had my career mapped out, and I was moving. I was on the road to success, and then all of a sudden I met Jesus. I had an encounter with Jesus, and he said, all of a sudden... He said, all that used to be important to me, now I consider as dung. It's just a pile of manure. I was chasing after something that I thought was valuable, but it's not that valuable. He says, I found something else. You know? So it's not that those things are wrong. It's just that we, our ability to to know and understand the greatness of what God has for us can only be found out in Him. It can only be accessed in Him by faith, working together with Him, right? This fellowship. And so there's this So now everything he learned, that stuff was still with him. But now he's just using it on a different road. Can you see that? God took the things that were deposited in him as he was moving in this direction and said, now I want you to go change the world. And wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was a firecracker. He was a firecracker over here, and he was killing Christians, thinking he was doing the will of God. And he met Jesus. But he stayed a firecracker. He all of a sudden went, and he's changing. The guy, you know, the news was, the guy that's changed the world, turned the world upside down, has come over here. News of him showing up in town. He came in, and he messed everything up. He messed religion all up. You know, he'd show up and just mess things up. And one place was at Lystra. They stoned him. They stoned him, took him out of town, stoned him, left him there for dead, and all walked back into town. And the group of believers stayed around and prayed for him, and he got back up, and he walked right back into town. That's a firecracker. Walked right back into town. Said, devil, you don't scare me. He was on his way to Jerusalem. And numerous people by the Spirit prophesied and said, it's not good things. And he said, quit it. Quit crying. He says, everywhere I go, I'm already aware. Jesus talked to me about this before. Everywhere I go, there's going to be pressure and attack. He says, I know it. This may be the last trip. He says, I know it. And this is like, well, I've got to do this. Firecracker. But he took the stuff that was our God, took the stuff that was deposited in him and used it. But he said, oh, that life, my desires, my plans are just, they don't compare to what God has for me. And so as we delight ourselves in the Lord, this ought to just stir us up. I'm going to delight myself more in the Lord. Why? Because I want to access and get a hold of what he has for me. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 2. He said, listen, I want to get a hold of him. He got a hold of me. I want to get a hold of him for the reason he got a hold of me. I want to get a hold of him because I want to get a hold of the reason he got a hold of me. I don't want to just know he got a hold of me and then make it to heaven and go, wow, I could have done that, I could have done that, I could have done that, I could have done that. You know, why didn't you tell me? He said, why didn't you come and find out? Why didn't you come access? Why didn't you come ask? Right? You know what I'm saying? So the Apostle Paul, his hunger, he says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Because I want to get a hold of him. I want to know him. I want to get a hold of what he got a hold of me for. I don't want to miss out on part of my destiny and my assignment because that's where the most fulfillment is. That's where success is. I've got one of my kingdom entrepreneur mentors uses this phrase. He says, a field of favor. A field of favor. Too many times people are working someone else's field. You know, they see someone having success in this area, and so they endeavor to work and function and operate and do business or something in that area, in that field. Why? Because someone else is doing good, someone else is prospering, so they're out there working in that other field, and it's just not working for them. It's just not working for them. And he says, listen, you need to find your field. You need to work your field, because your field is where your favor is. Remember when Naomi told Ruth? She said, don't go over there, don't go over there, don't go over there, don't go over there. No, I want you to go over there. And I want you to work that field. And so she walked over there and she found out it was Boaz's field. And he told her, don't go anywhere else. You stay in my field and you just pick up the extras around here. And he specifically told his staff, he said, drop some extra stuff for her. Drop some extra. So that's favor, a field of favor. He said, don't go anywhere else, stay here. This is where you're going to have safety and protection. This is where you're going to prosper. This is, I'm going to take care of you. Our field of favor. So what does that mean then? It's important that we find out our field of favor. Because that's where we're going to succeed. That's where we're going to prosper. That's where the protection is. That's where the safety is going to be. That's where things are going to flow. Amen? Field of favor. And there's a whole lot more I could get into, but I think that's enough for that. Delight ourselves in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. So I said this at the beginning of last week. I said, this is not talking about just we get whatever we want. No, this is about we delight ourselves in the Lord, and He begins to deposit His desires. And the more we do it, the stronger the desires get. All of a sudden, we're desiring what He desires. And this is the best place to walk. This is the most wonderful place to walk is when we desire what He desires. Amen? Hallelujah. So He, as we continue to delight ourselves in the Lord, He continues to deposit His desires in our heart. Verse 5 now says this, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Whew! Glory to God. Commit your way to the Lord. So let's talk about this today. Commit your way to the Lord, trust Him, and He will bring it to pass. The word commit means to roll. Literally or figuratively, to commit. Okay, to roll. Literally or figuratively, to roll. It means to commit, to remove, to roll away, to roll down, to roll together, to trust. This is the word commit. The Hebrew word commit can be translated this way, to roll, to commit, to remove, to roll away, to roll down, to roll together, to trust. Hallelujah. And the word way, say way, way. So the word way is a road. The word way in the Hebrew, it can be translated, it means a road. Or a course of life or mode of action, right? A road, a way, a pathway, a road way, or a course of life, a way of life, or a course of action, a mode of action, right? This is the way we do it, right? This is the way we do it. We do it this way here. I remember I had someone come and working with us, and he'd been 35 years in the industry, but I was endeavoring to let him know the way we did it at our shop. You know, because if you've been around that long, you've been in half a dozen shops, you probably know a half a dozen ways that it's done. So you've got a lot of ways, and it's all good. But the way we do it here may not be the way it's done everywhere else. So I'm just wanting to let him know how we do it here. This is the way we do it here. Why? This is the way it's set up. This is the way things move and function smoothly here. He didn't appreciate that. That's not my problem. A road, a course of life, or a mode of action. A highway, a pathway, a wayside, often as an adverb, along, away, because of, by, conversation, custom, culture, journey, manner, passenger. You know, if you're on a train or you're on a bus, you're on a plane, it's going a certain way, and you are a passenger. You're along for the ride, right? You're going somewhere. But you're not having to get there. Someone else is getting you there. Why? Because you're just the passenger. You can sightsee. When you're the passenger, you can sightsee. So when I drive, I can't look around everywhere. But when my wife drives, I can look and go, hey, look at that. She goes, I've already seen that. Oh, okay. So, passenger, through, toward, And again, the same phrase, highway, pathway, wayside, and whithersoever. Wherever. All right, so this is the word way. Commit your way to the Lord. So let's go ahead and turn to, I guess, keep your finger here. Now, we're not going to come back right away. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says this. You know what? Let's back up to verse 6. The middle of verse 5 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Why? So that he may exalt you in due time. Being exalted is not a problem. Not if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and we allow him to exalt us. Too many times when we try exalting ourselves is when we get in trouble and when we have problems because we don't know how to do it properly. So being exalted is the plan of God for us, but he just wants to do it for us. So we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt us in due time, verse 7, casting all of your care on him, for he cares for you. Casting all of your care on him, for he cares for you. We are to cast our cares on him. So we see here, Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord. The word commit means to roll, to commit, to roll, to remove, to roll away, to roll down, to roll down, to trust. So we are to do what? We're to commit or we're to roll the care of the way on him and trust him. So here's what happens. We delight ourselves in the Lord, and he begins dropping and depositing his desires in our heart. And these desires start pointing us in a direction. These desires start revealing and uncovering a way for us. Amen? So there might be a path this way, but if the sand is all blown over, or if the leaves are all, I mean, if there's just a whole pile of leaves, but if the wind comes in and the wind blows it away, all of a sudden it's like, as it's blowing, or you just take your blower, your leaf blower, and you go, and what it does is all of a sudden there's this path that begins to reveal itself. And this is what happens is we delight ourselves in the Lord, and he starts depositing desires in our heart. It starts pointing us in a direction. We may have been pointing this way, but now these desires seem to be pointing this way. Right? Can you see that? It's just the desires start pointing us this way. The desires start revealing this way or this pathway or this road that we're to take. And the desires seem to get stronger and stronger. So, you know what? When you start getting a desire or a thought, you know, be open to the thoughts. As we're praying in the Lord, praying in the Holy Ghost and delighting ourselves in the Lord and rejoicing in him, thoughts will begin to come. But it's not necessarily just a mental thought. See, he drops his desires in our hearts. He drops them in our spirit. And what our spirit does is our spirit, you know, there's this sense that we have. We have this sense, this knowing. And our spirit then passes information on to our soul or our mind, our will, and our emotions. So sometimes God's thoughts are different than regular thoughts. See, regular thoughts and even temptation, that stuff comes from here. Fear comes from out here. God leads us, we're led by the Spirit. And the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. He lives in our spirit. And so when God begins to lead us, so if God was warning us about something, it's coming from the inside, whereas fear will come from the outside. And so sometimes you just have to kind of stop and go, now is that a warning or is that just fear trying to get on me? Because a warning will be on the inside, a leading on the inside. Fear will come from the outside. And God's not given us a spirit of fear, right? But power, love, and a sound mind. So all of a sudden, if there's something on the inside, it's a warning to go that way instead of this way. It's like, okay. But if it's just on the outside, then it's the devil and we just resist it. But also then leading us into something. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, he starts dropping his desires, and on the inside in our spirit, we're getting this sense. We're getting this sense. It's not a mental thing. It's a spirit thing. It's a sense thing. Now, the thing about spirit, soul, and body is that the spirit and the soul are so closely entwined that Scripture says the only thing that can divide it is the Word of God. And so, you know, if we get too emotionally involved in something, it all of a sudden becomes very difficult to determine whether it's the Spirit of God or it's just, you know, my desire. And so when I told you I went to the church in Sarnia, and that bucket of water went, you know, and put out my little excited flame about, you know, going there and pastoring out there. And I had already made the decision. I'm excited about the opportunity, but I'm not going to get all emotionally involved, because I want to be able to hear my heart and not have all this extra clutter. And then it was the same thing with Audrey then too. So I didn't endeavor to get emotionally involved because I wanted to hear from God. Is this the right woman for me? You know, we don't want to create more problems for ourselves. We want to make things as easy as possible so I didn't get emotionally involved until then all of a sudden I can get emotionally involved. I mean, but at that point I was just kind of stepping back because I'm trying to hear from him. The only thing that can separate soul and spirit, spirit and soul, is the Word of God, according to Hebrews chapter 4:12. So, we delight ourselves in the Lord. He drops his desires in our heart, and they start pointing us in a direction. There's this leading, and we might have this thought, you know, move to Vulcan. This thought. All of a sudden, I see Pastor John. He says, looking for a pastor in Vulcan. All of a sudden, I'm just very excited, but no leading. Just, wow, that's cool. So I tell Audrey. She couldn't care less. So, you know, so there's just this little bit here. And so you just have to work with it and allow it to get stronger and stronger. And I had to then share some things and just input some stuff. And then she's like, maybe. Open to the idea, at least open to the idea. You know, we need to be willing to hear anything. Just willing. Being willing opens the door for the Holy Ghost to continue to move us forward. Sometimes there's the desire, so then the desire comes. And if it keeps coming up, and it's like, okay, Lord, is this, when I was going to go to Rhema, no, where am I, let me say it this way, when I wasn't going to go to Rhema, see, because I had someone tell me, you should go to Rhema. Said, no, I already been to Bible school. I'm ready for ministry. Someone else tells me, you should go to Rhema. No, I've already been to Bible school. I'm ready for ministry. Someone else tells me, you should go to Rhema. Okay, so, Lord, are you trying to talk to me? And I just keeping the door shut because I have my own plan, my own thought. As I open the door to just at least be willing. Okay, I'm willing. All of a sudden, the peace just went, whoosh, peace of God. We're to allow the peace of God to rule in our heart. See, this is part of being led by the Spirit. Part of following the plan of God is all of a sudden the peace of God came. It's like, oh, this is the plan. This is the plan. Interesting. So that's why I'm telling you. Sometimes we have no idea. I mean, we have all these desires of our own, and you know what? The more you walk with God and you find out, you know what? A lot of the things that we desired, he changes them. He's got a better plan. So it's like, okay, you know what? So we keep having desires. I mean, don't quit having desires, but keep delighting yourself in the Lord and allow him to drop desires in there. And so it's like, okay, I've got these desires, but Lord, how does this fit in my life? How does this, you know, because we can hear someone, we can listen to someone, we can kind of hang out with someone, we can watch someone, and it's like, you know, there's a draw. I like that. I like that. I like that. I like that. Okay, but how does that fit? If we like that, if it's kind of stirring us up, if it's kind of encouraging us, then it's like, okay, how does that fit in my life? Because we're not supposed to just copy people. Now we can use people as examples, but we need to find out, okay, what's the details for me? Because sometimes if we just go into something mindless, oh, I'm just going to copy everything they did. Just copy everything they did. Not pray about it. Not actually sit down and put any effort into trying to figure out a plan of our own. Sometimes we can miss it too because all of a sudden we've got too much of someone else's something in there and not enough of what the Holy Ghost has got for us. I mean, when Pastor Hagin was going to start the Bible school. You know, Brother Hagin prophesied we're going to start a Bible school. So he, you know, his son was in charge of it. He said a bunch of people started phoning me up and said, God told us to start a Bible school. What are you doing? How are you doing it? He goes, I don't know. He said, if God told you to start a Bible school, figure it out. He'll tell you how to do it. He says, I'm having to figure it out. I don't got 12 people I'm phoning and saying, can you send me the instructions to start a Bible school? No. He's having to pray about it. Him and his wife having to pray about it and figure it out themselves. So it's important that we pray about it and figure it out for ourselves. Working together with the Lord. He's got the plan. Someone will do it this way. Someone will do it that way. Someone will do it this way. You know, someone church growth program, and everyone wants to do that same church growth program because it's working over there. That just because it's working over there doesn't mean it works over here. It works over there. It works over there. It works over there. No. You might be able to learn some things, pull some aspects, some keys out that can be applied, but we must have our own flavor. Our own flavor. Hallelujah. So, these desires begin to reveal a way, a path, a road. It opens things up. So we commit or roll the care of the way on him and trust in him. Can you see that? All of a sudden, this new path, this new way, we delight ourselves in the Lord. He's dropping the desires in our heart, and all of a sudden it begins to reveal this way, this path. And it's like, I haven't been on this path before, Lord. So what do we have to do? We have to commit or cast the care or roll the care over on him. We commit and trust him in regards to this new path, this new way, this all these new desires. Lord, I commit them to you. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him and he'll bring it to pass. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We know this. Matthew 6, 33 says, but. See, so but means, and actually there's a whole lot more in here. I can actually do it. But briefly, the word but, we could just back up one verse. Verse 32 says, for after all these things the Gentiles or the nations seek, they're seeking, they're craving, they're desiring all these other things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Okay? He knows that we need the things. 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 Stuff. Things. He knows that you need the things. But he said, I don't want you to act like the nations that just seek the things because you need the things. I don't want you to act like the nations where you just crave the things like They crave the things. He says, no, I've got something higher and better for you. Instead of craving and seeking the things, I know you need the things, so I want to get the things to you, but I want you to do it this way. Verse 33, but I want you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added or increased to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, there's two parts of the kingdom of God. Number one, the kingdom is a government. The kingdom is a system of operation. And the kingdom is ruled and overseen by a king, right? And so when we seek first the kingdom of God, I say it this way, we need to first of all seek first the king. And then in order to understand and keep the kingdom in perspective, we need to understand how the king thinks. And so that's what the next part is. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, the Amplified Bible says his right way of doing. See, that's what righteousness is. Righteousness means right. It also can be translated as justice. What is justice? Him setting things right, putting things right, and making things right. So seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness will be seeking first the king, how he functions and operates, his right way of doing things. His right way of doing things. See, the way he does things is right. He's never done anything wrong. He does everything in righteousness. He loves justice. He likes doing things right. And so we are to seek first the kingdom of God, the system, the government, the system, how he functions and operates, his right way of doing things. So we seek him and how he does things. In other words, it's not enough just to watch a little documentary. It's not enough just to watch from afar. But it's important that we get close to him. Right? Elisha hung up with Elijah day in and day out, and he learned how Elijah did things. He learned what Elijah liked. He learned what Elijah didn't like. And he functioned and operated until he began to know the way. And so when Elijah said, I'm leaving, you can actually stay here, he said, you not on my life, not on your life, not on anybody's life, I'm staying here, I'm staying with you. The prophets would say, God's going to take Elijah. He says, I know, be quiet. I'm sticking with him. He had multiple opportunities to leave, and he said, no. And so then Elijah said, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of your anointing. And he said, it's hard. Now, it's not hard for God, but he said, it's going to be hard for you because it's going to require extra effort, commitment on your behalf. It's going to cost you. You can't just do anything you want. But if you see me when I leave, when I'm taken, then you'll get it. And you notice the interesting thing is before Elijah was taken, or received by God's fiery hot rod chariot, there was a whole lot of events, fire and everything going on, the whirlwind, and to distract him from seeing. But he didn't get distracted by all the stuff. He's watching Elijah. And he saw Elijah get in the chariot, and he saw Elijah take off in the chariot, and the mantle fell down. Seek first the kingdom of God and his right way of doing things. We're talking about a way. There is a way. There is a right way. God has a right way. And so we commit our way to the Lord. And there he has a right way. He has a way. And so it's important that we find out the way he wants things done. Amen? He starts dropping his desires in our heart. It begins to reveal this path, this way, this road that we're to walk on. But we continue to delight ourselves in the Lord because now he's going to show us how to walk on this way. He's going to show us the way to move and to operate and to function in this road, on this path. So it's not just a one-time thing. It's just something we continue to do. It's relationship. It's fellowship. It's hanging out with him. It's intimacy with him. So each and every step of the way, we're connected with him and to him, dependent on him. We're seeking him and his right way of doing things. Hallelujah. So God drops his desires in our heart as we delight ourselves in him, and it begins to reveal to us a way, a path, or a road to go on or to journey on. Now, God's ways are not always the easy way. God's ways are not always the easy way. You think the Apostle Paul found that out? That's why Jesus appeared to him and talked to him first. He had to show him. Jesus said, I've already let him know what he's going to suffer. And he was all in. He was all in. So his way is not always the easy way. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. Numbers 21, verse 4. I've got it written down here, so I'm not even going to turn to it. You can write this down. Numbers 21, verse 4. Israel is on their journey. It says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea. Why did they go that way? Because they were going around the land of Edom. Why were they going around the land of Edom? Because that was what God instructed them to do. So they were on this path, this way. They were journeying from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The people got discouraged because it was a long way. It was a hard way. It was a difficult way. They got discouraged. And they began to complain again and opened up the door to the devil. Began to complain and murmur and whine, and God's hand of protection had to come off of them. They stepped out from under God's protection, and that's when the fiery snakes came and bit people, and they died. But see what happens is his way is not the easy way. Matter of fact, Scripture says this, broad is the path and easy is the way to destruction. But the way, God's way, it's narrow. And apparently, even the entrance is kind of hidden. You actually have to seek and look for it. It requires effort. To find out God's way requires effort. But when we get on that way, it's a most amazing way. Willis Davis said this, the road to success runs uphill. We thought it runs downhill. We wished it was running downhill. But he says this, he says, the road to success runs uphill. In other words, what does that mean? It means success requires effort, it requires hard work, and it requires sacrifice. If we're not interested in these, we will have settled for normal, average, and ordinary. There is a whole bunch of people that are just living normal, average, and ordinary lives. Mundane. Those are all the same words. Normal, average, ordinary, mundane. But if we want success, if we want to have what God has for us, if we want to separate ourselves, if we want to experience extraordinary, not just ordinary, extraordinary, it's going to require effort, hard work, and sacrifice. Now, hard work doesn't necessarily mean it has to be done in our own strength, right? You can dig a trench with a shovel, or you can get a backhoe and you can just drive and dig away. Both of them require effort. It's just one is harder than the other. Right? It's going to take you effort to learn how to drive the thing. It's going to take you effort to learn how to dig in the right depth and everything. I mean, a shovel you can just dig all day long and get tired and sore, or you can just put some effort into learning something new. Let's learn how to drive the equipment, how to operate the equipment, and then get things done faster and quicker. But it's still going to require effort. The piece of equipment can sit there forever, and you can look at it and go, Boy, well, sure, it would be nice to be able to use that. I don't know how to use that. Put some effort into learning. Amen? Effort. It's going to effort. It just doesn't mean that we have to, it's going to always require our muscles, but it's going to require some effort, hard work, and some sacrifice. Sacrifice. So Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. We're talking about accessing the good life, right? Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now commit your way. Commit your way. We're talking about committing our way today. Because in order for us to enjoy the good life, we're going to have to learn how to commit our way to the Lord. Why? Trust Him so He can bring it to pass, right? We want Him to bring it to pass. We don't want to just, it's not our responsibility to bring it to pass, but it is our responsibility to find out, to delight ourselves in the Lord, to commit that way to Him, and then to walk with Him and to walk it out. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 says this. It says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Interesting. Verse 2, "being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards when he had, when they had ended, he was hungry." Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Interesting. He was led by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost led him this way, this path. This wasn't easy, but the Holy Spirit led him here. How much time? We've got some time. So, let me quickly. I'm gonna, like in Princess Bride. Let me sum up. We're not gonna do a long version. Sum up. Verse one. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned, ready to return to Him. He returned from Galilee. He's coming. He returned from the Jordan. So He's at the Jordan because He was just baptized with water. And now He's returning to Galilee. In other words, Galilee is up here. He's going uphill. Okay? He's going uphill. The River Jordan is low. He is now ascending. He's ascending and going uphill. The word Galilee means full circle. The word Galilee can be translated full circle. So he was here, filled with the Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness as he's on his way to Galilee. He's ascending. He had to pass the test in the wilderness in order to get the result of the promotion for Galilee. All right? This is part of what's going to require effort, hard work, and sacrifice. We need to pass the test. Israel kept failing the test over and over and over, and they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. An 11-day journey took 40 years. Why? Because you just keep taking the test over and over again. Right? It's not like school where you get too big and your knees are, you know, you're literally sitting in your first grade desk, and the desk doesn't even, the front legs don't even touch the ground anymore because your knees are, you know, you're so big. And no, there's no such thing as social promotion. You know, you're 10 years older than everyone else in grade one, so we're just going to promote you to grade two and hopefully you figure it out. And it's not how it works, right? No, it's going to, we just get to take the test over and over and over again. So he passed the test, and we can tell. Jesus took the word of God, passed the test. The devil would come, temptation, passed the test. It is written. Verse 14, or verse 13. "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." Verse 14, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit." I want you to see this. He passed the test, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. There was a promotion that just happened in his life. Jesus was promoted. He passed the test, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit in verse 1, but he returned in the power of the Spirit, verse 14. Why? Because he passed the test. Returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. circle. So what just happened here? He just had come full circle. But the interesting thing in a spiral staircase, when you go full circle, you are now up another level. Full circle. And that's what Proverbs 15:24 says, that I'm talking about the path of the wise winds upward. Winds upward. Full circle. He come first circle. He's now up on another level. Passed the test. Promoted. And so, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Even though it's not the easy way, it is the best. It's the most fulfilling and the most fruitful way. Amen? It may not be the easiest. But if we understand it's not going to be the easiest, but it is going to be the most fulfilling, the most fruitful, and it's the best way, God's way, then we're willing to sacrifice the easy. We're willing to put in the effort. We're willing to take the time. Because it's an investment and not just a waste. Amen? So when he starts dropping these desires in our heart, as we delight ourselves in the Lord, he begins dropping these desires in our heart. We begin to commit this way to him. We know it's not going to be easy. But not being easy doesn't mean it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be enjoyable. There might be stuff that was like, you know, I'd rather not do that. But there'd be the other things. It's like, you know what? This is fulfilling. This is pleasing. I enjoy this. This is, yes, Lord. Whew, yes, Lord. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just it's a bad time. It's a good time. It's a good life. See, the good life is not just a destination also. It's also part of the path. It's part of the journey. The good life is part of the journey. Walking with him, working with him, finding out his plan, getting his plan, working with him, walking with him, and putting in the effort. And going, I don't even know how to do that, Lord. How do I do that? And he shows us and we go, oh, I can do that. Ah, look at that. And then look, it's fruitful. It produced a result. Yeah. See, it's this journey. A good life is also is a journey, not just a destination. And so even though it's not the easy way, it is the best way. It is the most fulfilling way. And it is the fruitful way. And God wants us to be fruitful. We want to be fruitful. We want to produce results. We want our life to mean something. We want our week to mean something. You know, we want our year to mean something. We want to produce something. You know, if we're gonna do some work, we want to be able to look back at it and go, that looks really good. Yeah, that's good. And if you didn't get all done, we got partly done. It's like, boy. We got a lot done. Got some more to do, but a lot done. I've been painting the ceiling. Painted the whole house twice. I got one more coat to go on now with the paint, but I just was cutting most everything yesterday and then ran out of time. It's like, yeah, it looks good. It smells better in here. You know? You look back and go, good. We still got more to do. Still got lots more to do. But we're moving forward. It feels good. So, even though it's not the easy way, it's the best. It's the most fulfilling and fruitful way. It is God's way. See, here's the thing about God. It's God's way. God's way is the love way. God's way is the life way. God's way is the joy way. God's way is peace way. Amen. God's way is the faith way. God's way is the righteous way. It's the right way. It's the justice way. It's a prosperity way. God's way is a miraculous way. It's a supernatural way. It's a supernatural way. Hallelujah. It's God's way. And we want God's way. Amen? Hallelujah.